Live on Aero. Presented by Ger Sweeney.
Dias Mary Eve, good evening, welcome, nice to have your company on TRE's Irish programme. We call it Live on Aero. Nice to have your company. And do hope the week that passed was a good week for you. Coming up on the programme this week, we're going to be getting to that feature on Limerick 2030 that I didn't get to earlier on last week on the programme. It's always a pity when you have to drop something. In fact, I've had to drop something this evening already. We will be talking as well to a lady by the name of Eleanor Maloney. And Eleanor is an architect. She's based in County Tipperary. But she has done a really stunning survey, and it's taken a number of years to complete. But it's all about utilising the existing laneways and museways of Limerick City. She calls it the hidden city, and we'll find out why on the programme. It's been a busy week in Brexit, and a lot of talk as well about the border between Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland. So we'll be joining Peter O'Dwyer this evening, as per usual. Peter is the senior business reporter for the Times Ireland edition, and he'll be telling us about what was happening in relation to Ireland and Brexit over the last week or thereabouts. I won't be able to get to the GAA in Sevilla, as I had promoed that I would be, but we'll hold that over for next week. And Kevin Lennon will be making himself available to talk to me from Aeroge Sevilla all about the GAA in that neck of the woods. Right, music-wise, we always like to start off with a bit of music. Oh, can I tell you first, before we do that, if you'd like to get in touch with the programme, the best way to do that is by email. And my name is Ger Sweeney, so it's Ger, G-E-R, at talkradioeurope.com. All right, G-E-R at talkradioeurope.com. That is the best way to get in contact. Now, every so often we like to take a look back at some of the Eurovision entries for Ireland down through the years. And we started with the very first one, and we kind of get a chance every couple of weeks to revisit that. And that's exactly what we're going to do for our first piece of music today on the programme. And we're going to go back to the Eurovision Song Contest of 1970. It was held in Amsterdam in that year on the 21st of March, and it was the 15th Eurovision Song Contest. It was Ireland's sixth appearance, and we won it. It was the very first time that we won it, and we won it with an 18-year-old lass from Derry. Her name, Rosemary Brown, known to you and I as Dana. And she won it with a song that was called All Kinds of Everything. And here it is.
Seagulls and
we go. Dana, Rosemary Brown, singing All Kinds of Everything, the winning song in the 1970 Eurovision Song Contest, the first time that Ireland won that particular competition. Now, last week, we were hoping to get to a feature on the changing face of Limerick. And I mentioned to you that I would be talking to somebody from an organization called Limerick 2030. We didn't get to it last week, but I'm glad to say we're able to get to it today. And joining me on the phone is David Conway. David is the Chief Executive Officer of Limerick 2030. David, thank you for joining us today.
A pleasure, Ger.
Let's start with what exactly Limerick 2030 is, please.
A lot of things are happening here in Limerick in relation to regeneration and so on. And what Limerick City and County Council have done is they've formed a special purpose vehicle company called Limerick 2030 DAC. I'm the chief executive of the company, and our role is to develop key strategic sites in Limerick City to help in anchor development across the city and the Midwest region.
And basically what that means is you're trying to bring people into the city to live and to work, is it?
Correct. We have a number of projects under the 2030 brand that we're developing. We have five key projects, and I'll go through those in a few minutes. But really what we're trying to do is create jobs, create places to live, and create a good economic benefit for the Limerick city and region.
All right. Now, I grew up in Limerick back in the 70s and early 80s. Limerick City looks and feels different now than it did then, but you're going to hopefully have a better feel and a better look on the place by 2030. Obviously, 2030 is the deadline for all of this. Am I correct?
Correct. Major projects take time to initiate, procure, develop and so on. And the time frame is the 2030, as in the name and so on.
Yeah.
But what we have is we have a lovely Gardens International building, which has a capacity of about 12,000 square feet, could create up to 800 jobs. We're finishing off that building on Henry Street in Limerick, and that's a LEED Gold building. So that's an international standard building that will create jobs in the region. And that's our first flagship building that's out at the moment.
And in relation to that, then, when will that be open? When will that be finished?
End of the year. Okay. We're finishing it off. We're dealing with tenancy, and we're looking for tenants for that building. We will be making announcements later with regard to tenancy in that building, but we still have lots of good space in that building for people to rent. So if your listeners know of any international companies that want to come to Limerick, please don't hesitate to get in contact.
All right. And now the Gardens International office, that is in Henry Street or on Henry Street. And it used to be the old GPO building. Isn't that great?
That's right. When you and I grew up in Limerick, that used to be the GPO building, and the Mercantile building is right beside it. The Roach family had that building many moons ago. It was a real hotbed of development for the city in the earlier years. It was a bonded warehouse, and we've managed to take it over and purchase it. And again, this is the vision of Limerick City and County Council, purchasing these sites and making them available in the bad years. And now we're actually able to bring them to fruition to make new jobs for the city.
And you've managed to keep the facade as well. You've managed to keep the buildings, restore the front of them, which is beautiful.
Of course, which is absolutely magnificent. All on the GPO, the hanging gardens element. There was a hanging gardens, believe it or not, in that building as well. That various buildings used to look after plants and stuff and so on. And citrus fruits were grown in that. Mm. So throughout the building, to keeping the gardens element throughout the development and make it nice.
Okay. All right. And that's the end of the year. Right. What else do you have up your sleeves?
What else we're moving on? We've also then got the Opera site, which is a site right adjacent and across the road from the Hunt Museum, Patrick Street and Ellen Street, backing onto the bank area in terms of the city as well. Mm-hmm. We have 4 acres there. We're building a LEED Gold campus. We're looking at building a major 14-storey tower block for a revenue building.
Okay.
We're also putting in a library, a new library for Limerick City. Then we're working on various parcels for office accommodation and a part hotel as well. So that's a major development, circa about 170-odd million. And I'm glad to say through European funding and EIB and CEB funding, we've managed to secure the money for that building as well.
I was just about to ask you about the funding for that because I knew it was going to be an extensive project. Tell me, when revenue moves from their existing home, which isn't too far away, what's going to happen with that building?
Under the 2030 plan, which is the kind of the county development plan here, that area is to be opened up as a lovely parkway along the river.
Okay, so the existing building where the revenue is now, that will remain?
No. The old Sarsfield house, as you and I would know it, is due to be knocked.
Okay. Why is it called the Opera site? Is there an opera facility going in there?
No, it's nope. Nothing to do with an opera facility. Wexford can still hold on to its fantastic opera festival.
Right.
What I've connected is that there's a great mayor called Margaret Hayes, was a famous opera singer that lived on the site.
Okay.
There's lovely Georgian houses surrounding the actual site itself, and we're keeping those. She was born there, and we've used that as the name to kind of move forward. And we see the opera element moving out, maybe in a themed element and so on. There is a lovely public realm space in there that we'll be hosting various events as the development develops.
Right.
We will see what happens there in terms of maybe using it as a team. So that's why it's really being called opera. She was a famous singer. She sang all over Europe, England, and South America, North America.
Okay.
And in that tradition. And it's a real heritage-led scheme as well, but a lot of new stuff going into it.
Now, this hasn't started. The development hasn't started on this yet because you've got to do further consultation process, I believe.
Well, what we're doing now is that we are going into Bord Pleanála for planning application, which is a statutory agency here for planning.
Yeah.
That's due to go in very shortly following the consultation and the environmental impact statements. And then it'll go into planning, come back, and then we move on with the actual development itself.
All right. A little bit out farther out the road than in Castle Troy, the old Dell factory, the Troy Studios film hub in operation. Isn't that right?
Correct. That's another property that we've taken on board. We've made some investments into it, and I'm glad to say we have a film production crew out there. Because of the 340,000 square feet of space that's in it, it was an ideal fit for such an enterprise.
Right.
Again, it's kind of what Limerick is doing at the moment. It's thinking outside the box. It's doing things a little bit differently. We all know what happened when Dell moved on from Limerick. There was over 2,000 jobs gone. The supply chain, you could say, it was roughly the same. And again, the vision of the Limerick City and County Council, seeing what this building could do and could operate, was fantastic. And we've leased that out to a company now that are heavy in production. They've just finished their first film out there. It's Night Flyers. It's an NBC production. And it's going out on Sky channels and whatever channels these go out on, Gerard. Yeah, I'm not sure, to be honest.
Right, yeah.
But it's going out and it's set in space, and it's been fantastic for the region, creating jobs. You know, we have a fantastic tradition here also with the LIT in terms of the costumes and costume design and all that kind of stuff that has been used. And it's created about 450 jobs out there.
That's fantastic. That is absolutely fantastic. And that's there for how long? How long has that been there? Have they been working under there?
They worked on it from November. They're waiting to see a Series 1 successful, and it'll move on again. Our hopes are quite high for that. It's coming from the same stable as Game of Thrones. I think the same production crew are involved. And we're looking forward to continued success in that area.
That's brilliant. What's really interesting about this is that the three projects you've just mentioned to me, they're very different in so many different ways, which is great because all of the eggs aren't going into one basket.
That's precisely. I think in the past, I think we've done that and we have learned from it in terms of putting all your eggs in one basket. We've been into diversify, but I think what I really compliment Limerick is that they've been plan-led. This has all been planned approach, and they know that if we can diversify with the fantastic pool of talent that we have in here in Limerick, 20-odd thousand people, students are in Limerick in the region, so on from the university, from LIT and from AI, which makes it a very attractive place to come for companies to draw on this talent and work. And what we're trying to do now is create the spaces for that work to happen.
And it's all happening just 20 miles from an international airport. Shannon must be key to most of this, is it?
It has been, absolutely. But we also have a fantastic port as well. People forget about the port and Foynes and in the city itself. All those numbers going in the right direction at the moment. Job creation is going in the right direction as well. And to house that, the economic benefit has just been fantastic. And it's better to come to Limerick and the Limerick region if you can. The average house price here is 178,000 at this moment in time, compared to some of the prices that you're seeing around the city. And if the work-life balance works for you, then it's a fantastic place. And with that, we also have another project that we're doing is Mungert. Mungert development. This is where the old Jesuit school was.
Yeah.
Limerick City and County Council have asked us to do 60 acres of a master plan for pure residential, and we have to deliver 200 units by 2021, and that's what we're working on as well. So we have the whole work-life balance, you have great educational system, housing, great city life, and hopefully a great place to work as well.
And if you had a sweet tooth, down through the years, you might be familiar with Cleves Toffee, the old Cleves factory there. You're working on that as well.
We're working on that. That's, again, a city centre location, 10-acre site. What we've done is we've got some pre-planning master planning work done on that. We're seeing what will be the best fit. This will be something that will show Limerick in the new millennium, what we're about, what Limerick stands for, and what we're to achieve, the new face of Limerick. Right. We have a fantastic view up to Shannon of King John's Castle and the city itself, and this will be an iconic development as well, creating jobs, creating places to live as well.
Is all of this creating a good vibe around the city and indeed the county?
It has, Ger. It has absolutely been fantastic. I've been away from Limerick for about 17 odd years. I came back last year to set up this and drive these projects forward. And even in the short time period I've been here, it's been fantastic. The can-do attitude of Limerick is just coming to the fore yet again.
That's great. All right. Well, David, I appreciate you talking us through the projects that you're involved with. And we wish you well for Limerick 2030. And we're here. If you have something you think we'd be interested in, we'd always be happy to talk to you.
Jared, thank you so much and enjoy the rest of the show. Thank
Pleasure.
You.
Thanks a million.
Live on Era, presented by Jer Sweeney. Live on Era, presented by Jer Sweeney.
Welcome back to the programme. Nice to have your company on Live on Era. Don't forget the contact details for the programme, Jer, G-E-R, at talkradioeurope.com. Now, we like to look back at things that happened on this particular week in history, and that's exactly what we're going to do right now. Tomorrow is the 10th of July, and it was on that day, back in 1917, that De Valera won election to the Parliament for the constituency of Clare as a Sinn Féin candidate. And in 2001, on the 10th of July, a draft chapter of the Irish writer James Joyce's classic novel Ulysses was sold for nearly £900,000 at auction. I wonder, did Roger Comiskey buy that? I wonder, did he? Roger, hello to yourself and Dolores if you happen to be listening to the programme. On Wednesday, it's the 11th of July, 1967. On that year, Censorship Act was lifted, a ban on certain books that had been banned for more than a decade. And I'm sure there was a scramble to read the books that had been banned. 1986, on that day, U2 played the Half Moon Club in London. It was the first time that they sold out a venue in the UK. And on the 11th of July, 2000, the world's top golfers, including Tiger Woods and David Duval, began play at the JP McManus Invitation Pro-Am in Limerick. That was held in Adair, if I'm not mistaken. I think it was. The 11th of July is also my brother's birthday. Tom is celebrating his birthday today. So happy birthday to my brother Tom, back in Ireland, who might or might not be listening. The 12th of July, 1690, the Battle of the Boyne and victory for William of Orange, of course. 1999, an armed gang stole a 40-foot container of cigarettes valued at more than £1 million from a freight train at Dunlear in County Louth. Friday the 13th of July, back in 1985, the Live Aid concerts organised by Bob Geldof and Majura, I suppose, in there as well. It was all in aid of the Ethiopian famine relief. They were held in London and Philadelphia. The people of the Republic of Ireland contributed £8 million to that particular event, and what an event it was. 1998, on that day, the second stage of the Tour de France, taking place for the very first time in Ireland, ended in Cork City. A crowd of between 40 and 50,000 turned out to see the history-making event. Saturday is the 14th of July, and back on that date in 1998, Taoiseach Mary Harney announced that a minimum wage of £4.40 per hour will be introduced in April 2000. 1999, a lady by the name of Fidelma Macken was nominated for the European Court of Justice, the first time that a woman judge from any member country had reached such a high rank. Back in 2000, Kerry sheep farmer Patrick Moran earned a place in the Guinness Book of Records as he hand shears 206 sheep in 9 hours and became Irish and UK champion. There we go. We had the ploughing last week, and today we're talking about sheep shearing. So there we go. Now, let's look at the final day of the week. Coming up next Sunday is the 15th of July, and on that date, 1930, after De Valera abolished the Oath of Allegiance and withheld land annuities from the British government, retaliatory trade legislation began what was known as the Economic War. 1987, U2 played its first ever show in Madrid in Spain, attracting 115,000 people for one show, the largest crowd of the year. 1999, on the 15th of July, it was revealed that since 1998, all telephone, email and fax messages between Ireland and Britain, and probably the United States, were tapped by the British government. And finally, 2001, on the 15th of July, more than 340,000 provisional license drivers missed out on the new driver theory test because test centres would not be able to handle the flood of applications. So there we go. Some of the things that happened on this week in history in Ireland, and I hope you liked that. We're going to go to County Galway right now for some music. Here's a man that I've interviewed on a number of occasions, a great character to interview and a great character to go and see on stage as well. His name is Don Stiff, and you're listening to Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain. It's live on Era.
It's hard to settle down at first when you go away from home, and the people that you left behind, your heart is surely torn. I remember people saying to me, try it while you're young. If you don't like it over there back home, you can always come. And all that I brought with me was the bag of my guitar. Just wanted to do the same as home, just playing all the bars. Well, it wasn't like the Lisheen or the pubs up in Clonbur, but the people here in Boston like to make you feel as if it were. And people say in time you get a job and you settle down, but there's always something in my mind saying this is not my town. Each morning when I wake up and I start a brand new day, I look forward to going back to Galway. People say that Boston is just one big Irish town. You meet them there from Galway, Cork, from Meath and Carrow Town. Well, it's great to meet your friends out there, but sometimes it's so sad. I think they had to leave their homes because the work back there was bad. And June brings all of us together at a place they call Stonehill, where we let loose at the weekend for the Irish Festival. Abby Riley, Johnny McAvoy, the Clancy's and Sharon Shannon play their hearts out for us all. We drink in it by the gallon. Soccer, they're stone mad over there, and when Ireland plays a match, we all go crazy on the beer. Now the big screen in the Blackthorn, that's my local bar out there. Big Jack and the lads in green, they also drink in there. People say in time you get a job and you settle down, but there's always something in my mind saying this is not my town. Each morning when I wake up and I start a brand new day, I look forward to going back to Galway. I look forward to going back to Galway.
Live on Era, presented by Ger Sweeney.